members of the committee. I am here today representing the American Farm Bureau Federation. How you deal with the issue before you is critical to farmers and ranchers. There is no question it will affect our bottom line. Under our best estimates of the legislation passed by the House using EPA assumptions, it will take $5 billion out of farmers' pockets. Using the same rosy EPA scenario, but imposing the 2050 cost as if they occurred in 2012, gives a reduction in farm income of $13 billion. Most likely, the reality would be worse. So we care a great deal about what legislation you approve and what the agricultural offsets will be. With that in mind, I would like to respectfully challenge all members of the committee to ask a few questions. Your answers will tell you a lot about what kind of bill that you produce. Number one, what do we want to accomplish? If we really want to change what the world's climate will be in 40 or 100 years, then the House-passed bill is not the answer. I believe Administrator Jackson said as much last week when she testified before this committee. Two, do we want to keep U.S. products competitive internationally while living up to our WTO obligations? If so, then the House bill is not the answer. It could spur trade retaliation and promote leakage of carbon emissions. And with that leakage, you will see economic activity and jobs leaving our country. Three, is this about energy independence for America? Again, the House-passed bill doesn't measure up. It spells out what we can't do. It doesn't really say how we will make up for lost energy sources. The best way to have an honest, productive debate is for everyone to lay their cards on the table. If we do, one thing becomes pretty clear. This debate isn't about the climate, it's about fossil fuels. Everyone knows it, so let's deal with that reality. If the proponents honestly want to revamp our energy so the use of fossil fuels is minimized, then they have an obligation to tell us their alternative. Arbitrary percentages about efficiencies, mandates for emission limitations, promotion of international offsets, are simply roundabout ways of saying that they don't have an energy plan. While emission caps will be written into law, the market and power generation structures implied in EPA's current analysis are just a set of assumptions. From an agricultural perspective, there are several changes we believe must be incorporated in the bill. One, the legislation must, at a minimum, include the provisions negotiated by Chairman Peterson of the House Ag Committee. We're encouraged by statements of Senator Harkin that says he wants to do that and will seek to strengthen them. Even with such changes, you need to remember not all agricultural producers will be able to avail themselves of offsets. Two, other nations must be a part of the solution or U.S. competitiveness will be sacrificed and climate reduction goals will fail to be achieved. Absent global commitments, we will be engaging in the economic equivalent of unilateral disarmament. And three, Congress must not create a hole in America's energy supply. If fossil fuels are taken out, something else must be substituted. We must plug the hole created by the bill or run the risk of congressionally mandated shortages that will create spikes in energy prices. The agricultural sector in particular is poorly equipped to absorb or pass on such costs. It's very reasonable to estimate that costs that we currently project to occur in 2030 or 2040 might well shift forward to 2015 or 2020. Acreage shifts might be more drastic than envisioned, and they could well involve greater shifts from crop acres to forestry, as well as acreage currently dedicated to forage production shifting into forestry. And once again, some agricultural producers will never benefit from the legislation under any scenario, yet these same producers will incur the increased fuel, fertilizer, and energy costs that their counterparts do. We're very open to the idea of including an off-ramp in the legislation. Such an approach could kick in due to job loss, a lack of an international agreement, an inability to sufficiently commercialize renewable technologies, or a lack of alternative energy sources. Without some mechanism to protect agriculture, we're greatly concerned about the potential adverse impacts on farmers and ranchers. Some say agriculture will benefit. If EPA has their way, we will only be allowed to plant trees. Any other benefits will depend to a large degree on where the producer is located, what he or she grows, and how his or her business model can take advantage of any provisions in the legislation. Not every dairy farmer can afford to capture methane. It's a capital-intensive endeavor. Not every farmer lives in a region where wind turbines are an option. Not every farmer can take advantage of no-till. Not every farmer has the land to set aside to plant trees. Yet every farmer has production costs to meet. Nearly all of us rely on fertilizer, and we all drive tractors. We all use energy in our production. We know our costs will rise, and frankly, we're very concerned about the impact of this legislation on our livelihood. and I urge the committee to consider these factors as you take up legislation. Thank you again for the invitation to testify, and I look forward to questions.
Thank you, sir.